and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Helping each other, edifying each other, praying for each other, searching the scriptures together as God grows us and waters us and builds his church. We will grow. All his church, equal or humbled, knelt before God with arms raised, praising our Creator. And always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks the reason for your hope that is in you with meekness and fear, being ready for the Lord's return. Dictionary definition, the state of being united or joined as a whole. And that's what we are. We're joined as a whole. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, mentioned about the church when he was talking about wives, as Bob took us through not so long ago. Because the church is referred to the bride of Christ. And we will celebrate that when we're called up to be with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's just read it. Verse 29, Ephesians 5. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. We have this wonderful picture of Christ and his bride and the love that he has for us. It's truly, truly amazing. He loves his own wife as himself. God loves us so much that he gave us his son. He gave his life for us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the scriptures say. We were made for this. We need to remember we are members of Jesus' body, not my body, not your body. We are here for his will and his way. This is living in the Spirit. When we live in Jesus as part of his body, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, being led by him, to reach out to other sinners. And his body is made up of sinners that have been made clean. And that is wonderful, perfect unity. Here in Hebrews, we see the sacrifice that Jesus paid once and for all, allowing us to be part of his body, that we can be sanctified. The veil in the temple, keeping us separate from the holy place. Jesus' flesh represents the veil being broken to allow us to be placed in him. If we read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 to 15. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I have made with them, that I make with them in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, and that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. This is beautiful. Puts the laws in our hearts and minds. That's conviction. Lawless deeds, he remembers no more. That's forgiveness. And where there's remission of these, there's no longer an offering. When there is repentance, Jesus' life offered once means sin is paid in full once, allowing us to enter into the holiest by his blood. We just see that, read that verse 20 again, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Jesus is our high priest, and part of the body being the church, we are part of his body. It's a wonderful thing of being united, not just united with Christ, but united with each other. Just carrying on, verse 22 to 25. Let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why does there need to be unity? Because of what he's done for us. And because the day is approaching. How much time have we got left before he calls us up? We've got to get ready. Remember Crystal Lewis's song, "People Get Ready, Jesus is Coming." It's a good song. And it's very true. Got to get ready because God chooses to use us to be his hands and his feet. And he get a lot more done when we're all pushing the same way in unity. So let's track back to the reading that Joe read tonight. I'm just going to read it again. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Just going through some of those things that he said there. If we look at the main points, Paul talking to the Philippians here, saying they can fulfill Paul's joy when they're united. If you can see the people doing these things, it'd bring him joy. If you are like-minded, having the same mindset. In Jesus, we have a common faith, we have a common salvation. Having the same love that God has for us. And we have one accord, oneness in heart and mind, thinking the same things, putting others first, not trying to gain position above anyone else, but looking out for each other. Why is this so important? Because if we are Jesus' body and Jesus is the head over the body, then what happens when all the body parts are doing their own thing? Body becomes ineffective and unstable. This isn't a hierarchy, a way to get to Jesus, trying to work a way up the body, get closer to the head. It's more of a collective to be available for service in a way that we can support each other. And don't just forget that we are part of a body and deal, which we are, but united we're the Bible-believing church around the world. We're joined to a much bigger body. And it's great comfort to know that there might be a few in here tonight, but there's thousands around the world. Christianity is still the biggest faith, even though there's so many other religions out there. And God still uses us. He knows the plan. He knows where he wants us to be. And he teaches us how to get there. Ephesians 4, 1-6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, endeavouring to keep unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here Paul writing to the Ephesians, we are told to walk worthy of our calling. Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, and bearing with each other in love. So we can keep together, keep unity, keep the spirit and the bond of peace. Why? Because it's just one body and one spirit. One calling. We have one mindset with these things that God shares with us. We're all under that. We're all under that banner. If we are all under this calling, we should all be heading in the same direction with the same mind. We would look pretty silly if we were hitting ourselves, being mean to ourselves. In numerous ways, we can be horrible to ourselves. But when we do that, if we're not united and we're doing those things, that's what we're doing. We're fighting ourselves. Jesus' body. First Corinthians 12:20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these bestow greater honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honour to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffers with it. Or if one member is honoured, all members rejoice with it. It says there should be no schism. It's a split or division. Now, unfortunately, it's very common within churches and it can be very destructive. A church divided straight down in two can be caused by one divisive mouth or action. Satan doesn't like unity, strives to break it. Why? Because unity causes growth, and it's the opposite to what he wants. He's quite happy with an ineffective church because there's no threat to his plan. See in Matthew 18, again I say to you that two of you agree on earth concerning anything that I ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There is power when we join together. It's not our power, it's God's power. But we're so much more useful and effective to him when we're together. You see in Ephesians 4, verse 13 to 16, not got that scripture on the screen, but let me just read it to you. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective workings by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there is no division among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Paul here reiterates in all of these letters, it seems to be a common thing and a common teaching that he needed to get across. We should be getting along, speaking the same thing, the same mind, the same judgment. We have the beginning of the church when the Holy Spirit came into the room where they were gathered. We have this amazing situation where the Holy Spirit came in and they were speaking other languages. They were speaking, had what looked like flames of fire on their head. And it was an amazing thing. The Spirit gave them utterance of all these languages. And outside, all these people were hearing their own languages. And they think, what's going on in there? Peter has this wonderful speech to the people who were confused at what was going on, who was trying to say that this is a bad thing. And he puts them right. And we see him say in Acts 2, verse 40 to 42, that, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. So God used that situation, and people came. People could see the power. They could see what was happening. And they continued with those things, simple things. Fellowship, breaking of bread, praying together, steadfastly. David knew the blessings of unity. In Psalm 133, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for a brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious oil upon the head, running down onto the beard of Aaron. Running down to the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. We have these two pictures here, what unity's like. What a sacred thing must brotherly love be when it can be likened to oil which must be never be poured on any man but on the Lord's high priest alone. That's what Spurgeon said. Just read that again. What a sacred thing must brotherly love be when it can be likened to oil, which must never be poured on any man but the Lord's high priest alone. This is abundant oil, not just on the head, but it's falling down the beard, down the sides of the garment, on the high priest. Jesus is our high priest. What a place to stand. Knelt before Jesus. It also says it's like the dew of Hermon. King David used a second word picture showing how wonderful unity is among the people of God. It's like rich dew that covers Mount Hermon, making it green and moist. It's a distinct contrast to the dry grounds around parts of Israel. It's saying unity among God's people makes life thriving and healthy. The illustration is wonderful. When we have unity among God's people, it's not only good and pleasant in itself, but it also leads to many other good things. But when the people of God struggle with each other, there are so many other good things that they're not doing and enjoying. In John 17, we see in verse 17, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one with us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. How does the world know? Because they see we're one with the Father, they see we're one with Jesus. They see the glory that he's given us, the knowledge he's given us, the love that he's given us in what he's done. Romans 12, we have, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with men, all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap up coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That heaping coals on the fire on his head is the shame they will feel. When you don't react, when you don't have to fight back. But part of Jesus' body, Jesus deals with it. What can damage unity? You have division and conflict. Biblical unity is about harmony, togetherness, common purpose among believers based on their faith in God. Division and conflict, disagreements of conflict within a church or among believers, whether it's over doctrinal issues, personal differences or leadership disputes, can cause division. We have our core non-negotiable doctrines. Things like the Trinity, justification by faith alone, the authority of Scripture, substitutionary atonement. But there will be doctrines that we can't discuss, negotiate. There are ones that we can have different viewpoints, and that's okay. I can wait for you to agree with me. Pause for hilarious laughter. I have a quote here from Dustin Binge. There are non-negotiable doctrines for a Christian faith. The Trinity, justification by faith alone, the authority of Scripture, substitutionary atonement. And then there are things not as important. Those willing to divide over the latter seldom acquaint with the former. That's interesting to hear when you think, you know, if we're arguing over certain points, we haven't listened to the beginning. We haven't listened to how we should be. What else can damage unity? We have that lack of forgiveness. Holding on to grudges or being unwilling to forgive can create rifts and hinder the unity among believers. We've all been there. That grudge doesn't go away. They just seem to build up. And we're good people. We hold them in, we hold them in, hold them in, hold them in. And every time something else happens, we bring that whole list up and say, you know, oh, there's, I'm just not happy. But we've all done that. We need to forgive. Pride and selfishness. When we, as individuals, prioritize our own desires or opinions over everybody else in the community, can lead to disunity. False teaching. Teachers that are not aligned with biblical principles can confuse and cause divisions among believers. Sin. Sin within the body can affect the whole church. It needs to be dealt with. Gossip. Gossip and slander. Negative talk about others. Whether true or false, it can damage relationships. and trust within a community. Self-serving. That's when we come to the church with our frame of mind, what can I get out of this today? Rather than, what can I add to this today? How can I help build somebody up? How can I edify somebody else? It's not all about me. Maintaining unity requires humility, love, forgiveness, and a commitment to truth. Probably numerous other things. And there's certainly a lot of other things that can cause disunity as well. Just to finish, just need to take a look a little at the future. I'm going to fly ahead now. There will be a time, and that probably has started already, that there will be a one world church and a one world government, and these will be run by the Antichrist. Now, depending where you believe when Jesus is going to take us, personally I believe he's going to take us before all of this happens. So we probably won't see him in who he is, but we'll be seeing the aspects now of what's going to be coming about. Before he's revealed, these things are going to be happening, and we can see these things happening already. We see, if we read in Revelation 20, 7 to 10, the devil who deceived, verse 10 there. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So who is this beast and the false prophet? We have these things. We're not obviously going to delve in this. This is deep stuff. But we have this one world religion and we have this one world government. How are they going to do that? How are they going to get us all together? How are they going to convince people to join together and be under one person? And I've got that picture up on the screen there. That's the Pope Francis as he waves to the young people gathered for a meeting on integration dialogue at the Catholic Junior College in Singapore. It's in, what's that, September the 13th. One of the things he said was, during the recent trip, all religions are paths to God. He said, I will use analogy, they are like different languages that express tanalogy, whatever that is. But here there's this thing to try and join everybody together, and using those basis of, you know, we've got to stop these wars, these conflicts. If we're all together, then it'll be better, and we can just get along. So I'll read the Revelation again, 13, verses 3 to 10. And I saw one of the heads of it as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Let's read that again. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So have these two people, but they're going to worship him. He's going to be convincing. He's going to preach peace. He's going to do miracles. And people are going to be conned. And we won't be here. We won't be here to say anything once that's going on. Something we've got to say beforehand. Be a false peace that's broken after 3.5 years. We can have fellowship. We can't have fellowship with someone who does not agree with our core doctrines. It's just not possible. We can talk to them, we can listen to them if you want to, but we can't say amen together. We can agree with their beliefs, and there is a we can't agree with their beliefs. And there's plans in place to get everyone to come together, no matter what you believe, and unite. It consists of a watering down of the word, a twisting of the word, a twisting of truth. It will be complete, accompanied with miracles, and will be convincing. It will completely change the course of history. And if Christians are not on a good foundation in Scripture, they could be pulled away. Just another thing there that on the screen that the Pope said. There is no alternative. We either build the future together, or there will not be a future. I don't know how that's going to take place. These things are going, the meetings are being held, multi-faith meetings, multi-faith prayer groups. But we can't have unity with them unless they have our core foundation, our core beliefs, Scripture. Some of them have a different Jesus. We can't agree to go along with that. But we need unity within the church. That's just a picture of the unity to come, to show that there is a different unity. We need our own true unity that Jesus has given us in a place in him. So we come to the end. I just want to recap on a couple of things that have been said over the last 6 weeks. How we should be, how fellowship should be. We should be welcoming. We're part of Jesus' body. Our hands should be out ready to receive somebody else to join onto that. As God brings people, they need to be able to be welcomed in to the body that's here already. Hospitality, we should be hospitable. In any way we can, seeing the need of people as they come in. Helping each other, looking after everyone else's interests. Accountability. It's accountability to God. Helping each other when we take a wrong turn, when we fall down, picking each other up. Separation. Separate unto God, not being part of the world, not trying to go along with what they do. Being different, so people can see we're different and want to be part of it. See there's another way. Last week Bob went through submission. Submission to each other, helping each other. All working together to be used by God. To be used by Jesus. All under Jesus. Something to think about. Let's pray. Let the band come up. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're amazing. Lord, we're so grateful that you are our God. We're so grateful that you made a way that we could be in you. You made a way to take down that veil through your death on this cross, Lord, that we can be part with you. And Lord, we want to fulfill your word. We want to be useful to you, Lord. We want so much for more people to come in and be saved. We have family and friends, Lord, that don't know you. We want you to reach them and help the church reach out to them. Lord, we want you to make us a church. They're all moving in the same direction. They're all pushing the same way, with the same mindset, the same love, wanting to reach the world. And Father, we just pray that you will help us do that, Lord. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to be filled with you as our head, Lord, as we do what you ask us to do. Lord, we just thank you for these things. All your blessings upon our lives. Lord, I pray you'll be with us this week as we go about whatever we're doing. That you'll remain in our heart, you'll remain in our minds. That your scriptures will be written there, Lord, that we can look on them. And that we can be an open hand to the people that we meet. Your open hand, Lord. Help us to love each other, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.